We come this morning, got thinking a couple of weeks ago when working on another message about the idea of people being superstitious. We talked a little back last week about that, and on thinking on that, I come to the conclusion that the superstitious people that are in the churches today, they'll settle for any kind of old doctrine. Doesn't matter what it is or who the speaker. First thing they want to do, they get somebody that's willing to join their ranks, and they want to make him a preacher or something. A teacher right away, get him right on in, get him going. And I thought on these things a great deal. We come this morning to the fourth chapter of 1 John. And we have an admonition. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By the way, they mostly come out of the religious people, the false prophets. But they grew up in religion. Ones he is talking about here especially, they were taught over and over and over. They were the elite, really, that has broken out and began to teach these false doctrines by way of superstition. I think there's two things in this that we as people of God ought to be careful about and not listen to and not take part in. And that's one of superstition. And the other is just downright unbelief. When I think about the people of unbelief, they are people that would school you in a minute about your belief. So I think we need to be careful always of both things. The fact that superstition then leads to, I believe, unbelief. The more that they teach their version of the gospel, the more confusion that it brings on. So we ought to be cautious. And John wasn't writing to just anybody here, but he was writing to the people of God that they ought to be cautious of these things, that they are crept in. And that's where they start, real small, and they grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Isn't it amazing that everything is begotten of its own kind? No matter what it is. It's a marvelous thing if you really sit down and think about it. Everything's after its own kind, but it all grows. And this thing grows more and more and more unto the unbelief. Certainly, we're told to pray about our unbelief, which we all sometimes have, and I think it's good that a man tries to see whether what he has is the true Spirit of God or whether it's just some superstition. Superstition's always working verse 2, he said, whereby or hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I thought on this a little bit. We do need to go know that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. But not only that, and I believe Brother Jerry touched on it what week before last, that God and Jesus Christ are the same, and God came in the form of fleshly man, in the form of Jesus Christ, and he put both here, Jesus and Christ, the anointed. So we believe that he has come in the flesh to save his people who were foreordained before the foundation of the world and given to the Son. And it couldn't be by any other means. But the confession is made not just a profession, but a confessing. This is our God that has come in the flesh to save his people. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, that's kind of, we've mentioned that lately too. People are too familiar with their God. And he can't be attained unto in that manner. Their confession is that he's not come in the flesh in the full authority of that power. And it's most prevalent today. That's what has creeped into the churches so much and has taken away the true gospel and made it into some superstition. They're just too familiar. He's just their little helpmate whenever they want one. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Well, if you don't preach the true Christ, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And the world is full of it. I said the other day, the biggest business going is church, or what they would call a church. And the spirit of Antichrist is what's building them and gathering them up. And it said, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Well, it wouldn't catch us by any surprise. It's all around us. And things sound so good. They can present it in an almost believable fashion. It is believable outside of the mercy of God. And even now already is in the world and said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Well, the question is, have we? Have we? Because greater is he that is in the world than he that, or is in you than he that is in the world. I mentioned not too long ago, we get on Facebook very rarely. I get on there, but I see this over and over in there. We don't have any idea what that means. Most of what I see is the spirit of Antichrist, and they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them, but we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Well, if it be the word of God. if they try the spirit. I said it's healthy to look at your own self and try it and see if it is the proper spirit. If it's a spirit of rebellion, it's not the proper spirit. But if it's a spirit of love and coming to and confessing our faults, then it is proper spirit. Try the spirits. I mentioned this scripture the other day, Acts the 17th chapter. And in verse 21, I guess, and all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Well, our gospel is not new. That's what superstition is always looking for something new. If we get more modern, that's the attitude today. It's got to be a little more modern. I don't know what all kind of classifications they got now for the churches, so-called churches. What degrees of modernism have we got? Or have we got one we don't agree with none of that? We're looking back yonder. So we'll worship like they did in the old days. But what they're seeing of the old days wasn't worship either. It was the same thing. They were always looking for some new something. Something fresh. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you." It's not any new thing. He was from before the foundation of the world with the Father. And the Father hath given these people, the whole world, everything is in it. And it was made by him. It's pretty straightforward if man has any sense of God. But it must be from God, or there is strictly unbelief. The unbelief brings on superstition. Well, we'll justify it by any means that we get ready. If it sounds good, it's good. That's the attitude. Oh, we're going to see Mama on the other side of kind of doctrine. We're not going to be nothing like that. But men are hardened in unbelief. Book of Mark, 6th chapter. In verse 4, I guess, "But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works." See, in that place, if you understood that. "No mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And then he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. But isn't it a marvel that they were seeing the Savior himself doing these mighty works, and their heart was so hard in unbelief that they would not believe it. They said, we know this man's people. Yeah. And it can't be. We're looking for something else. And that's what unbelief and superstition both will do. Is cause you to look for something else beside the Savior. So, it's not in the power of man to do anything about his state. Not in any decision. Anything except the Lord must make a man clean. That's what Paul was just talking about a while ago. Wash him. Take away the stony heart and give him a heart of flesh in Ezekiel 30. Sixth chapter. I guess verse 21, he said, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen where they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel. Now it's the church. The whole thing was the church. But it had a lot of flaws in it, you understand. So we need to try the Spirit. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen where ye went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle you with clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. You understand, this heart's going to be one that's tender. You can't teach anything but a tender heart about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And always contrary. And I'll put my spirit within you. We ain't read one thing about what man is going to do in this whole thing. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I'm going to do it for you, for my name's sake. so that the heathen might see. What was it going to save them? No, not necessarily. It was going to condemn them. They wouldn't have any excuse. They couldn't go about accusing or excusing. It's going to dismiss all of it when they see the work of the Lord upon his people. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I guess verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith. I kind of underscored this in my Bible. The spirit of faith. Try the spirit. See if it be of faith. That's the reason we need to always try ourselves. See if it be the spirit of faith. Do we really believe this? Does it have any effect, or any cleansing effect? Does it have any admissions in it? I said, admissions. Yeah. Confessing. Is that not a good word? Oh, okay. No, omissions, that's the other subject there. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This is our God. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. Thanksgiving. That's what we're supposed to just celebrate. That it might redound unto the glory of God. Do all things to the glory of God. So, must be a spirit of faith. And that of God, and not of ourselves. It's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. That's a whole different spirit than the world has and most what so-called churches have today. It's most of it's of them. Their testimony is bad. 2 Timothy. First chapter. Verse 10, I suppose. No, let's go to 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. We talked about that the other day also, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's really where I want to come to, although all of this is linked together, it's the same thing. Of a sound mind. How do you judge? Of a mixed up mind or of a sound mind? And where does a sound mind come from? It can only come from God, because man of himself has no mind at all, let alone sound. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So all these things were set in motion from before the foundation of the world. So Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to save those that are in the flesh. He became man. That is our testimony. Our God has come, and in these last days, spoken to us by Jesus Christ.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He was manifest in the flesh, made known in the flesh. Amen. All right, good to be here in the house of the Lord again. And trust that you've been blessed already this morning, or at least the beginning of blessings, right? So thank God for his mercy and his grace towards us every day. So here we are.